job over there. Good job. Man, this is the first Sunday of 2024. I'm so glad that you started it out in church this morning and tonight. What a great way to start the year off. And, you know, I always think about this every year. This could be the year of Jesus' return. All these things are going on in the world and all these things that make us wonder. And, you know, I kind of hit that point. I remember in my earlier ministry just really looking at all the signs and trying to track down the signs and study all the signs. Now I've learned to just stay busy for the Lord, loving on Him, living my life every day, letting that fall in His hands and just enjoy life. But, you know, I always think this could be the year. And I just think we need to live in a constant state of readiness, constant state. You know, this could be the year that individuals go be with the Lord. And if that is the case, then I pray that you'll go to meet Him faithful, serving Him, busy, excited, looking unto His return. And I always think about that at the eve of a brand new year. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. This is not any kind of official theme, just a sermon title tonight. But I want to talk to you tonight about getting more out of 2024. Making it a good, productive year for yourself, getting more out of 2024. You know, God's given us another opportunity, the spirit of New Year. You know how every holiday kind of has a holiday spirit attached to it. And the spirit of New Year is that spirit of freshness, new beginnings, a do-over, kind of a restart. And I love that feeling of you know, every year you make people make these resolutions and they say, man, I'm going to get into shape. I'm going to get into the gym. I'm going to you know, start this. I'm going to start that. I'm going to get this done. And I think it's a spirit that comes along with it, that idea of a restart. And so we're staring at a brand new year and brand new clean calendar in front of us. We get to fill it up with some exciting things. But I want you to get something out of this year. Do something with it. Every day that God gives you is a gift. We need to do what we can do to redeem that time, make it valuable. And so I want to help you tonight. Go to John chapter 15. We're going to look at a couple of quick observations. Then I'm just going to give you some quick challenges. And we'll be out right on time tonight. By the way, we start back to everything tomorrow. The offices will resume tomorrow morning. And the school will resume. Brother J.D., are y'all ready? You're ready for the onslaught? Miss Debbie's been celebrating her anniversary. Having fun. Now she's got to get back to work. I asked Colin this morning. I said, Brother Colin, are you ready for school to start? He didn't even wink. He just, nope. He's been out deer hunting and having fun. But it's going to start tomorrow for all these young people and our staff. We're going to get right back in the saddle. We've been on the vacation mode. And so we're ready to get back to work. And I'm going to be having calendar planning meetings all week and getting ready to unveil our new theme and big ideas for this year. So it's going to be a productive, busy week. But in any case, it is time. And so let me find John chapter 15 here, and then I'll be where you're at. That did help me a lot. I've actually done that. I've stood there looking through the Old Testament, trying to figure it out. And it's kind of like telling time. When you get up behind the pulpit, two things. You lose your ability to find scriptures, and you lose the ability to tell time. Have you ever noticed that? You lose the ability of, you know, that relevance of time that old Einstein came up with. It's really true when you're preaching. You look at your watch and think you have 30 minutes left, and you preach for what you think is about 3 minutes. You look at your watch, and 35 minutes has passed. You're like, what in the world? But so you just lose the ability to tell time. They say, you know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? It means absolutely nothing. So anyway, sometimes we need help with all that. John chapter 15, we see some important writing, some important teaching coming from Jesus here. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's the owner of the vineyard. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 4, I'm not going to preach on it, but it's so crucial. In verse 4, we see the key to spiritual victory. And that key is we must abide in Jesus. You must abide in Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Remain. Let's examine that word abide. Who has an idea? What does that word mean? I mean, Christmas, you may have guests. Y'all just had a guest that came to be there with you. There is guests and there are those who abide. What is the difference in the two? Miss Carol? Okay, abide is one who lingers with, dwells there, stays. And so we see that we are told to abide in Jesus. And, you know, a guest comes and is there for a moment and then leaves. But when you abide, you linger, you stay. You become resident. So we are instructed to abide in Jesus. And so how do we do that? Okay? Say that again. Okay, you get into his word and you get his word into you. Okay, that's a great way to abide in Jesus. What are other ways we can abide in Jesus? We're instructed to abide in him. It's the key to victorious Christian living. If you don't abide in Jesus, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be a fruitful vine. Brother JD?
Read your Bible and pray.
Read your Bible and pray. Devotional life, crucial. Crucial. Okay, walking with Jesus. And that's a part of our devotional time. Our devotional time. We've got to walk with Jesus daily. Daily. Abide in him. Staying right next to him. Who else over here? Timmy?
Fasting.
Say it again.
Fasting.
Fasting? We don't want to talk about that. Moving on to the next topic here. Fasting is walking with God on steroids, man. It just brings you so close to him. And in trying to get your prayers answered, it just supercharges them. Fasting is so important. Miss Cindy?
Attending church.
Attending church. Do you think that it's important for a child of God to abide in the house of God?
Yes.
Would that be a part of abiding with Jesus?
Yes,
would you agree that there are Christians who just kind of pop in and visit Jesus once in a while?
Yes, sir.
Versus Christians who abide in the Lord's house. They abide in it. They abide in it. They dwell. They stay. So walking with God, having a devotional life, devotion is crucial, and it involves two elements. I've taught this before, and this is all kind of free. It doesn't cost you anything. Let me throw it out there for the sake of some of you who weren't there the night I taught it, or you slept through it, one of the two. There are two elements in a healthy devotional life. What are they? What are those two elements?
Reading
the Bible and praying. And they're two separate things, but they are components to make up one thing. And we have to think of it this way. Reading the Bible is God talking to you. God wants to talk to you. When you pray, that's you talking to him. And to have a healthy fellowship, there must be a two-way conversation. Have you ever talked to people, they call you? And for an hour, they'll tell you everything about their life. And then they'll ask you, so what's going on with you? And you go, listen, I got to go. Isn't that frustrating? Frustrating when you listen to people tell you things all the time, but they never allow you to speak back or interject back. They cut you off. You're not really interested. Beloved, as frustrating as that is, sadly, that is the conversation reality that most of us have with God. I mean, it's all like, hey, God, this is Jimmy, so give me, give me, give me. And really, it's us telling him what we want, what we need, and what our, you know. And then in the end, we don't really let him talk at all. So when you have a healthy devotion, it needs to have both components. You need to spend time praying and bringing your needs to God. There is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all with telling God what you need and what you want and what's going on in your life. But it's crucial that you allow God to speak back. And part of abiding in Jesus is a healthy worship life, coming to church, it's crucial, a devotional life. And we see this as a key. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If you do not abide in Jesus, you cannot be fruitful. You will not abide. If you cut a vine off of a branch, what happens to that vine?
It dries up.
It dries up. If it stays attached, it has the chance to be fruitful. But it is that branch that provides those nutrients to that vine. So we see here that we must abide. We must stay with Christ. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay in church. Stay in your book. Stay on your knees. Stay in fellowship. Walk with the Lord. Abide in him. And if you do so, you will have a spiritually fruitful life. He goes on to add to this our need for him in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, this is so crucial. If you have your pen, underline it, and don't ever forget it. For without me, ye can do nothing. Boy, that's such a strong statement, and it's so humiliating for us to realize that without him, we are nothing. But it is true. It is true. If we set out to do anything without God's help, it is doomed for failure. We need God. We need him every day. So he reminds us of this. And he is that vine. We're the branches. I said it in reverse a minute ago, but I know y'all are smart enough to correct me. That you know what I'm saying, we need the Lord. If you cut that branch off that vine, that branch withers up. It doesn't lay out there in the yard and still produce fruit. It ends up being in a burn pile. And so we want to be fruitful. How do we remain fruitful? Stay attached. Stay attached. Beloved, this year, commit yourself to stay attached. Abide, abide, abide. The devil's going to work hard to get you to divide, get you to depart. Don't let him do it. Every year in January, we start into this launch. When you look into a new year, you're always wondering, what's it going to bring? And what's going to happen this year? What are the victories going to be? What are the losses going to be? We always have both. At the end of the year, I can look back over the year and I'll see faces that are no longer abiding. I'll see people that have gotten out. And they got out despite phone calls and texts and friendly visits and encouragements. They got out in spite of the Holy Spirit's call inside of them to get back. They got out in spite of knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. But every year, I exit a year, leaving people behind in that year that no longer abide. Beloved, we've got to abide. And I'm not talking about people that may move or transfer to another church. I'm talking about people who are no longer abiding in Jesus. They're just out of church. They're out of church. And it breaks my heart. Because they're not going to be fruitful and they're not going to be spiritually victorious. So we have got to be people who stay attached to Jesus, and we've got to abide. We've got to abide. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot be fruitful without God's power and blessing and involvement in your life. Now notice here in verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You see, out in the yard, many of you have wooded lots. You know, you can see often through storms and windy days, you'll come out in your yard and you see what's called downfall. Brother Terry, you know what downfall is, right? It's those branches that shake loose and break away and fall in the yard. And after a while, you look out in your yard and you'll just see them scattered everywhere. Then there'll come that spring day that you'll get out there and roll up your sleeves, and you gather all those up into a big pile in the middle of your yard, and you burn them because they're good for nothing. They're just an eyesore. The winds, the storms shook them loose. They weren't drawing nutrients, and they withered and died and fell away. Beloved, there are people that, even in church, every year we have what we call the downfall. They fall away. They fall away. They disattach from the tree, they break off, and often it's the winds, the storms, the heavy rains that reveal that they were withered and unhealthy. You come out the next morning, those branches are laying out all over the yard. Well, eventually you got to pick them up and burn them and forget about it, move on. Well, every year there are Christians that are the downfall. Jesus said, hey, it becomes a worthless branch when it breaks away and withers. Simply to be gathered and to be burned. And then verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. If you have your pen, underline that. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We see that Jesus says, if you are my disciple, I expect you to bear much fruit. How many of you see that in that verse? He wants you to bear much fruit. If you're the disciple of Christ, we are to be fruit-bearing branches. We are to be people that are being fruitful for the Lord's cause. So we see that in these scriptures. We need to bear fruit. We, therefore, need to be busy bearing fruit. Christians cannot bear fruit and be idle. You got to be busy to be bearing fruit for the Lord. It doesn't happen accidentally. It happens intentionally. You have to intend on being a fruit-bearing branch. Do not let 2024 pass bearing no fruit for the cause of Jesus in your life. Be a fruit-bearing branch in 2024. You got to be busy. You got to be constant. Look, a good tree that bears fruit seasonally. Season after season after season. A good tree can bear fruit for many years. How many of you have fruit trees? Anybody own any? I know you've got a beautiful garden behind your house there. It's awesome. Is what I'm saying correct? You want that tree not to just bear fruit for 1 year and then be done, or 2 or 3 years. What would be common for a tree to bear fruit if it's healthy and taken care of and rooted and fertilized and watered? What would be common for like an orange tree to bear fruit, or an apple tree, or can an orange tree bear fruit pretty much indefinitely if it's taken care of?
Yeah.
Or is there a limit to how many seasons it can pretty much have?
Trees have a limit on production of fruit. The production may go down after years, but if you have less fruit, you have bigger fruit.
Okay.
So you're thin.
What a great example there. But you expect to come out season after season and see some fruit on that. Probably the younger tree bears a lot of fruit. As it gets older, maybe it's not as much fruit, but it's more quality fruit. And you see that in the church. Some of you have been saved for 40 or 50 years. You're probably not producing what you did the first 5 or 6, 7 years of your ministry. Many of you had periods of time when you were younger that you ran bus routes and taught classes. And man, if the doors were open, you were at everything. And then as you get older, you just slow down a little bit. You get older, your body can't run with it like it used to. And I had a lady in my church in Orlando. Her name was Ruby Giesel. She went to Bible college under J. Frank Norris. He was her pastor. Her and her husband both graduated from his Bible college, and she knew him quite well. And every time I'd preach a message on soul winning, she'd come forward. Now, she was 92 years old at the last year that I pastored her. And literally going into that last year, we had a revival. And the man got up, one of our guest speakers, and he got on soul winning. Man, he gave the invitation, and Miss Ruby stepped out. She came forward to that walker. She came up there, and she's just weeping. I kneeled down. I said, Miss Ruby, how can I pray with you? And she said, Preacher, I'm just so sorry that I can't go soul winning. Oh, I just don't understand. I want to serve God. And, you know, she used to run a bus route. Her and her husband ran a bus route for, 20 years her and her husband ran a bus route. And then he went on to heaven. And then she was there, and she played our piano all the way up to. Christy started playing, but she played the first 5 or 6 years we were there. And then she just got to where her fingers wouldn't work anymore. And I remember the day she came to me and said, Preacher, I think I'm just going to ask your wife to play the piano. I just can't keep up with the hymns. I can't play it. And it was getting to where she was missing the notes and unable to keep up with it. And she just wept. You know what I loved about Miss Ruby? She never lost the desire to serve Jesus.
Hey.
Now, her body got to where she couldn't do it. She was like that tree. But you know what? She taught a ladies' class until she was like 88. I mean, she was such an inspiration. And I would see her weep and weep when we would have things. We'd have bus blitzes. And she would come to the breakfast. We'd all pair up to going out looking for bus kids. And she'd start weeping, watching us. And she'd say, Preacher, I want to go out, but I can't. I'm just going to stay here at the church, and I'm going to pray for y'all. We'd come in the auditorium, and she'd be in there praying. Dear lady, she went to be with the Lord right after I came here to be your pastor. And I grieved when I heard that she passed, but rejoiced with her as well. That's the right spirit. The right spirit. You know, some of you can't produce what you used to produce. But a tree that's abiding in Christ wants to produce, and it continually produces something. She was always a blessing and a help every way she could be. You're going to slow down at some point. But we see here that a tree, it's expected to seasonally produce something, to be constant. Beloved, listen, there's a lot of Christians, and this is what I want you to be careful about. There's a lot of church members that get saved, they get into church, and they produce about 2 or 3 years, and then they quit being fruitful. You know, they say the average Christian worker, from the minute they're saved to the time that they literally often quit church, the lifespan of the average Christian is 7 years. 7 years, they go from being a brand new Christian. And I've got a sermon on this, and I'll preach it sometime this year. I preached it, I think, the first year. It's a powerful message on the growth chart of a Christian. So I'm not going to steal my own thunder. I'm going to make you wait for it. But when it gets down to it, it will split into one of three ways. Most Christians will come down to a point of maturity, and it can go one of three ways. And a lot of people, after their seventh year of church, their most productive years are their first 7 years of their salvation. And then often, they spend the rest of their Christianity being unfruitful, often just being a pew sitter or often just being out of church. And so, listen, God expects us to be fruitful and not just a few seasons. He wants to see fruit season after season after season. Maybe not as much as you did when you were a younger tree, but your fruit should become more mature fruit and it should become better fruit as you get older. So what a great illustration there. We need to be fruitful. We need to be busy. We need to be constant. We need to be healthy, which means a good tree has got to have deep roots. It's got to have deep roots. And, you know, that's where we go back to church and the Word of God. Be rooted in the Word of God. Deep rooted. Be deeply rooted in the house of God. Why? Because that's where you get your nutrients. That's where you get your watering. Every service, I'm giving you nutrients and I'm watering you. And getting you know, watered up, keeping you healthy. A good tree's got to be rooted. It's got to be planted deep in there. And then it's got to be, you know, fertilized. And it's got to be, taken care of. And that's what a church does. A church body helps tend to you. And you know what? I want to encourage you to be a healthy, fruitful plant. You better tend your garden, amen? You better tend it. If you want to be fruitful, tend your garden. Man, my grandma had one of the most beautiful gardens that I'd ever seen in my life. And man, she'd give us just bushels of big old beefsteak tomatoes and corn and purple hull peas. Listen, I'm serious about this purple hull pea business. We can't find them anywhere. My wife has searched in vain. I almost wanted to cancel Christmas. She told me she couldn't find purple hull peas. And I said, well, it won't be Christmas. My grandma used to grow those and give them to us. Big old freezer bags full of them. How many of you have never eaten purple hull peas? How many of you don't even have any clue what I'm talking about? Oh, the ignorance in this room. Oh, my goodness. You know what they are? It looks like a black eyed pea, but it's just got a whole different flavor, but I love it. Do you like them?
And when you cook them, the juice is thicker than the regular black eyed peas.
You're telling me. Hey, do you like them?
Yes, I love
Do you have any? I'm just coming over to your house. We need people that know how to plant stuff, to plant some of these purple hull peas.
They didn't grow good.
They didn't grow good? Oh, no. Well, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, though, my grandma had this beautiful garden. My wife and kids and I were in, actually, Julian, you and I were in Arkansas for my Aunt Shirley's funeral about 2 years ago. Remember that? And I took you by Grandma and Grandpa's farm. And it was real sad. Their house had burned down. They'd already passed. But the house that I remember them in all those years, the person that owned it after them, somehow a fire broke out and the old farmhouse burned down. And I could see the old foundation there. But I looked over and I showed Julian. I said, right over there is where Grandma had the most beautiful garden I've ever seen in my life. Just rows and rows of stuff. And she'd get out there every morning. Most diligent woman she'd worked at. She had a green thumb. I mean, man, it was greener than this chair. I mean, she could make stuff grow in the middle of the desert. And you know what I noticed? It was full of thistles and thorns and overgrowth. The land had reclaimed that beautiful garden where there used to be just rows of beautiful vegetables. Now there was just thorns and thistles and overgrowth. And you know why? There was no one there to tend it. She passed away and that ground wasn't being tended anymore. Beloved, let me tell you, you got to keep tending your garden if you want to be fruitful. And you tend it by getting the sin out. That's the thorns and the thistles. It'll choke you out. Get that sin out. You need to be regularly coming to an altar and saying, God, it's me again. Man, I've been stupid. Especially you, Brother Dave. I've been stupid. Just kidding. Your wife actually shook her head when I said that. She didn't say anything, but she just kind of went. Did she say amen at her? You need to be up here all the time getting that garden cleaned out. And those sins that so easily beset you, they can grow up right in the middle of your garden and they become those weeds. And those weeds steal the nutrients out of that garden that could be going to making beautiful purple whole peas. Nobody wants to have a salad with weeds.
No.
Nobody. But those weeds will steal those valuable nutrients and choke out that garden. And before you know it, that garden is just gone. Nothing there but just a field full of weeds. I know Christians that used to be on fire for God and they used to be fruitful. And sin got in their garden.
Yes.
And bitterness. And they got angry at somebody in the church and they quit abiding. And next thing you know, that beautiful garden that at one time was yielding work for Jesus, which, by the way, will yield crowns one day that you'll lay at the foot of Jesus.
Hey.
It pays to serve God. I don't want to be that Christian that's up there and has nothing to lay at the foot of Christ. But you have to abide to be fruitful. And man, they get out there and that garden gets overgrown. And to be fruitful, you got to tend that thing, man. You need to be up here regularly getting your heart right. And not that you're a horrible person, but you are a person. You're human. And every day we have to get up and rip weeds out, rip weeds out, rip weeds out. Tend to that thing. If you do that, you'll be fruitful. Now let me close with this. Just some quick things that I want to challenge you to do this year so you can be fruitful in 2024. You can do more in 2024. First of all, see that you need to do more. See that you need to do more. How many of you believe there's room for you to do more for Jesus? You see there's room for that, room for some improvement. Evaluate yourself and say, you know what, I can do more. It could be that you could give more to missions or give more to tithes and offerings, or it could be you could give more time, however the needs provide themselves. But see that you can do more. See that you need to do more. Maybe it's concerning your devotion life and your prayer life, your Bible study life. Whatever it is that you evaluate, come up with, but you need to look into your life in 2024 and see that you need to do more. Number two, see where you can do more. Evaluate where you can be used and do more in it. Number three, set some short-term goals for 2024. I love long-term goals, but the most productive goals are short-term goals. Things that you can reach and things that, you know, are in the immediate future. Things that you can do in the next 12 months. Set some goals for yourself in 2024. Some of those can be practical. Listen, a healthy Christian is a more productive Christian. You know why a lot of churches are struggling throughout a lot of the year? Their people have let their health go. And they're sick and they're down and they're hurt and their bodies can't produce. I want to encourage you this year to do what you can to be healthy. Do what you can to be healthy. Set some health goals for yourself. That might mean giving up some things that you know are not healthy. It might mean doing some things, starting some things that you know are healthier. Maybe going for a walk after you eat or joining a gym. But set some short-term goals for 2024. Number four, do something that you've never done before in 2024. Start something new. It could be that you've never been one to come to the spiritual development hour. I want to encourage you to, this year, start coming to the spiritual development hour. Maybe you've never been a Sunday school goer. Why not try it this year?
Amen.
Get more out of 2024. You'll have more nutrients coming into your branches. Amen. Get into it. Start something that you've never done. Maybe it's that you've never been on the soul safari. You've never gone out soul winning. Maybe in 2024 you could start something new and say, you know what, I've never done it, but I'm going to do it this year. I'm just going to start going. I'm just going to start doing it. Do something that you've never done before. This one woman came up to her husband. She said, honey, I want you to take me somewhere I've never been. He said, sure. He took her into the kitchen. Go somewhere. Start something that you've never. That was an old joke, but I love it. I love it. This burglar saw this guy one time walking down the road hand in hand with his wife, walked up to him, and he said, pulled out a gun, he said, "Give me all your money or I'm going to kill your wife." And the man just stood there and he said, "What are you waiting for?" And he said, "I'm thinking about it." All the women are booing me now. They're all booing me. Oh, my goodness. Do something you've never done before. Hey, listen, there may be Christians that have gotten saved but have never experienced the joy of stewardship. You've never experienced the joy of giving God 10% and that offering above it. Maybe you've tipped God and you've put a little bit in here and there. But I want to encourage you this year. Become a stewardship. Become a tither. Start it in 2024. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to outgive God. I dare you to try. You're not going to bless God more than He is going to bless you. I promise you. Listen to me, beloved. I believe this. That dollar in your pocket is going to go further with God blessing it than $10 in your pocket with God cursing it. And until you yield to this and say, you know what? I'm just going to give God my finances and let Him be in control and just be obedient. Man, try it this year. Maybe you've been holding back on that and a little bit stubborn on it or a little bit unsure of it. I want to encourage you, 2024, do something you've never done before. And it might be stewardship that is that thing. Do something you've never done before. Maybe it's practical goals, things you've always wanted to do in your life. Make this the year you get some of those things done. Put something on that short-term goal list and get it done. Get it done. Could be climbing a mountain. Miss Darlene, you need to go climb a mountain. Seriously. Go climb one. JD said he'll go with you if you go. No, not going to do it. Man, there's all these things that we always want to do it. We never get around to it. Make this the year you set a goal to do something you've never done before, but you want to do. Number five, add something spiritual that you do not do already. Add something spiritual this year that you do not do already. And I covered a few possibilities already, but think about your spiritual life. What are things that you know you need to do but you've never done? Add something spiritual. Try to add at least one thing to your spiritual life this year. Let me give you another encouragement to be more fruitful in 2024. Break one bad habit in 2024. Now, don't raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. But how many of you have got some bad habits that you know they keep you from being the healthy Christian you should be? Don't answer me. And don't answer for your husband. But listen, we all have things that keep us from flourishing. I want to encourage you to tackle one of those things and get victory over it this year. You may not get victory over every bad habit, but pick one bad habit this year and say, this is the year I crush that bad habit. I crush it. It could be that it's time to give up them cigarettes. Amen. Amen. Boy, I didn't get any amens on that. They're like, whoa, preacher, you done gone too far. I mean, somebody asked me one time, will smoking cigarettes send you to hell? I said, no, but it just makes you smell like you've been there. But anyway, that's an old joke too, old preacher's joke. It might be now that this year you get the strength to say, you know what, I'm going to kick this bad habit and I am going to, it's not good for me, it's not healthy for me, it's costly, not just on my health, it's costly financially. And once you quit smoking and put all that money in a jar and go do something great for yourself at the end of the year. But I'll tell you something, kick that habit. Maybe it's tobacco, maybe it's alcohol. Or maybe there's other bad habits that you have. If that's in your life, and it's personal, it's private, we don't need to know about it, but you and the Lord, personally, you commit to God, I'm going to get victory over that this year. Go to work on it. Break one bad habit in 2024 to have a better 24. Number seven, do something that you have been procrastinating to do. Get that garage cleaned up. Get that closet cleaned out. Go through that dress closet and get all those dresses that you think if you lose 20 pounds you can wear. Amen. Get rid of them and go buy clothes you can wear right now. Amen. And just be happy. Women are like, what did we do to you, preacher? What in the world? No, listen, I'm just as guilty. I got sport coats hanging in my closet, and I think if I just lose 25 pounds, I could wear that again. I'm just going to get rid of it and get one. You know, the key to feeling good about yourself sometimes is just buy bigger clothes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, man, listen, though, there's all these things that you need to get done, and you've been procrastinating on it. Put it on a list and get it done this year. Get it out of your way and get your life uncluttered. Let me ask you to do this year. Try to make one new friend. Some of you say, well, I got all the friends I need. I don't need any more friends. Try to make one new friend. Could be that you don't need a friend, but there could be somebody God's put you in the path who desperately needs a friend. Look around. Try to make one new friend this year. Number 9, accept some challenge that arises this year. I don't know what it'll be, but in your mind, say, I'm going to look for a challenge, and I'm going to accept that challenge this year. I challenged you this morning to give out 5 tracts a week. Why not take me up on that challenge? And this year, try to do every week 5 tracts. But find some spiritual challenge or some challenge in your life and accept that challenge and get it done this year. Number 10, I want to strongly encourage you to up your devotional life. Up your devotional life. Walk with God more. We talked about that earlier. So important. Do more. Read a little bit more. Pray a little bit longer. Number 11, this is your bonus. I'm going to give you a bonus number here. Usually I stop at 10, but I'm going to give you a number 11. This is a big one, and I'm going to close on it. Stop making excuses and start making changes. Amen. 2024, if you want to be more fruitful, quit making excuses like we've done in the past. Start making changes. There's an old saying that says, he that is good at making excuses is rarely good at anything else. Beloved, there's a lot of people that are great at making excuses. Stop making excuses for why you're not abiding in church and why you're not walking with God and why you're not being fruitful and why you're not accepting the challenges that come your way and why you can't seem to break the habits in your life that hold you down. Stop making excuses and start making some changes, and you'll have a better 2024. Let's make this a good year. Let's make it a good year. Let's get something done with it. I don't know, man. We could be literally at the cusp. It gives me chills to think about it. This could be the year. One of the dates with that fresh new calendar you're looking at, and you're writing all these plans in it, one of those days could be the day that God has ordained for the clouds to roll back and for the trumpet to sound and for those that are in Christ to be risen to meet him in the air. Beloved, I hope that that is the case, that you're ready. I hope you're ready in 2 ways. I hope you're ready, number 1, that you are born again. And I hope that you know that. I know this is my Sunday night crowd, the cream of the crop. Man, y'all are my workers and people, but listen. You're not saved because you go to church. You go to church because you are saved. But you don't get saved by going to church. And beloved, I hope that everybody in this room has made their salvation sure. You're not basing it on tradition, not basing it on your mom and dad's prayers. You're not basing it on your church attendance. I hope that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if he comes in 2024, I hope that you're called out with us. Number 2, I hope that you are ready in the sense that if Jesus comes, you're ready in the sense that you're busy, you're fruitful, you're serving, and you're ready to see him as a faithful servant of God. Don't let this be the year you fall down. Don't let this be the year you become the branch that's the deadfall. Don't let me be standing here next January where he's saying, what happened to Russell? He doesn't come anymore. And what happened to Isaiah? He's just one of those branches that fell out. The winds and the storms came and he fell out, and he's just a withered branch out there now. Don't let that happen to you. You finish this year well. You determine now, January, this time next year, I'm going to be praising the Lord and abiding in him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's make it a good year. Let's get some things done for the Lord. Let's be fruitful as a church. Let's be fruitful as a person. You can do it. Is there anyone that can say, preacher, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up tonight? Preacher, pray for me. I want to go to heaven. Would there be anybody here tonight to say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I want to be a fruitful Christian. Pray for me that I can do that. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand if you mean it. If you mean it, you're sincere. Dear Father, you see these hands. Lord, we're staring at this brand new calendar. God, I have no way of knowing what lies ahead. I stare into it and it's a dark abyss of possibilities and things that are exciting, things that can be a little frightening, and the what ifs and all the things that come with a brand new calendar. Lord, I pray that, number one, we'll abide in you. And I pray that these people that just raised their hand, I pray that there would be sincerity in that. And in that sincerity, I pray that there'll be effort because it goes back to them. It's their choices. Lord, I pray that they'll choose to abide in you and choose to abide in the house of God and the word of God and in a prayer life and in fellowship with other believers, that they won't let the storms of life, the offenses, the frustrations, the aggravations, all the things that come into life, the broken down cars, the loss of jobs, the health issues, the people that can let you down. I pray that they won't let those shakeups cause them to be a branch that breaks away from the vine, falls into the yard as deadfall. I pray that at the end of this year, they'll be a part of this great tree. And on that branch, providing fruit. Fruit for you to pick and for you to use, for you to enjoy. And let us offer that up to you as fruitful Christians. Lord, I ask that you protect us this year. Put a hedge about us. I ask that you add to our church daily such as should be saved. I ask that you help those that are here to grow in their walk with you, and use us as a church that can help them do that and spiritually develop them. And Lord, I pray you'll put a hedge around their homes and their children. I pray for ours that are out in the military field. And I pray for our church family, Lord, that is in the mission field. And I pray for our church family, Lord, that are going off to college. And Lord, I pray for our church family that get up day after day after day and go to jobs where they're surrounded by people who blaspheme your name. And Lord, they need your strength and they need your grace and they need your power to power through that. And Lord, they need church. They have no idea how much they need that encouragement to come out of that evil world and fellowship with believers for just a few moments, a few times a week. Lord, they've got to have that in their life. Let them abide in it. Now, Lord, hear their prayers. There will be people coming to pray in a moment that are going through problems in their life. And Lord, they need answers and they need your intervention. They need miraculous help. Lord, there's people that are praying for lost loved ones and Lord, praying for relationship issues. And Lord, praying for health problems and people they love that are sick. Lord, please open your ears to them. Show them great and mighty things which they know not. And let them see their faith increased and improved because of the answered prayers that are in their life. God, they'll praise you more. They'll serve you more. They'll do more for you when they see you doing that for them. And as their pastor, I intercede. I stand in the middle and I'm asking you, Lord, to answer the prayers that they bring to you. Increase their power of faith. Lord, we love you. Thank you for letting us live to see another year. Keep us safe and abiding in you. And in Jesus' name, let's all stand.